Okay, so good morning, everybody. Boker Tov. We are on Yud Beis, Omud Beis, towards the bottom by the new Mishnah over there. Mirz Hashem will finish the first parak, a huge accomplishment for this cycle of Daf Yomi, the first parak in the Daf Yomi. Learning today, Leili Nishmas, Eva Ruder, Abela Bas Uri, Hashem Hashem and Ali, along with all the others that we've learned for. Okay, so let's begin. We're starting a little bit late, and let's start. The Mishnah begins at the bottom, Yud Beis, Omud Beis. Maskirin Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelos. This is a very famous Mishnah, one of the most famous Mishnahs in all of Shas, because we say this at the Seder, so people know this Mishnah pretty well, or at least they're familiar with it more so maybe than other Mishnayos. So the Mishnah tells us that we have to remember, we have to remind ourselves, we have to say something specifically regarding Yitzias Mitzrayim, even the nighttime. And Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the famous statement that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah has made, Harei ani keven shivim shana, I'm like a 70-year-old person. Everybody's familiar with the famous story that it was a sichsuch. Rashi alludes to it over here. There was a sichsuch, and they removed Rabbi Gamliel from his head of the Nesias. He got into some quarrels with Yeshua. There were three times in Shas that this happened, and the people said enough, and they deposed him, and they decided who they were going to put in place, and they ultimately decided upon Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was only 18 years old, according to Medrash at that time, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nace that his beard grew white, and that's why it says, Harei ani ke ben shivim shana. That's the standard understanding, certainly a famous explanation. Not everybody agrees with that explanation. The Yerushalmi has several different shittas over here that said that he actually was not the 18 years old. There were some that say he was 16 years old, 17 years old. One opinion says 13 years old. And one opinion says he was 69 years old. And that's why he said, I'm like 70 years old, because he was 69. So whichever way you want to look at it, he certainly had tremendous zuchusim, both from his own learning, from his own wealth, from his own lineage, and that's why he was chosen as the Nasi. Ultimately, he shared the Nesius responsibilities with Rabban Gamliel. But for right now, he said, this drasha, I'm like a 70-year-old man, but nobody else agreed with my drasha that you have to say Yitzias Yisrael at nighttime. In the Shema, the third parasha, Vayomer, we don't say tzitzis at night. We don't wear tzitzis at night. So why are we saying that? So we're saying it because of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So Acha Dorsha Ben Zoma. So he found the colleague, Ben Zoma, who agreed with him. And now he had support, and this became the halacha. Shenemar Laman Tiskor is Yom Seischa Mi'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha. The pasuk says you have to remember Mitzrayim all the days of your life. What does it mean, all the days of your life? Kol Yemei Chayecha. Yemei Chayecha alone would have been Hayomim, would have been during the daytime. Kol Yemei Chayecha at Leilos. That comes to teach us that we also have to go and be maskir Yitzias Mitzrayim even at night. So an interesting vort is brought down in the Beis Yosef from the Sefer Beis Yosef under the Hayei Bracha. So he says, how come it's called Yitzias Mitzrayim? It should be Yitzias Kla Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim. Ever think of that? Yitzias Mitzrayim. So he brings down that the nace over here was magnified by the Mitzrayim leaving Mitzrayim to come and attack us. After the Esamakos, they came and attacked us, and the phenomenal nace of Kriyas Yamsuf. So we refer to it as Yitzias Mitzrayim, that the Mitzrayim left Mitzrayim. That's part of the nace also. Not just that we left Mitzrayim, but the Mitzrayim left Mitzrayim and chased us, and then they got their final clep.
What is supposed to be our actual kavanah?
Reminding us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the unbelievable nace for us of taking us out of Mitzrayim. Yeah, there's many other kavanas, yeah, but that's the essential kavana. Remind us, as the Gemara is going to talk a little bit about that we have to never, ever forget the HaKadosh HaTov, that we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, that's part of it, yeah. The Chum disagree with this drasha. They say, no, there's another drasha. They don't disagree with the din of Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelos, but they disagree that this is the source. The Chum Arim, Yimei Chayecha means Olam Hazeh. Kol Yimei Chayecha means Lahavi Limos HaMoshiach. That means that even when Mashiach comes, we're not going to forget the nes of Yitzias Yisrael. Even though the Gemara will say there'll be other nesim that will make us put that into a secondary position. Yitzias Yisrael is a primary position right now, but Yeretz Hashem, the Meir Yameinu, hopefully today, when Mashiach comes, so then we're going to remind ourselves less of Yitzias Yisrael. We'll never forget it, because we now have new nisim, and the Gemara will explain this more in detail. Gemara starts on, it says, Tanya, Amar Lehem ben Zoma l'chachamim, ben Zoma said to chachamim, v'chi maskirim yitzias Yisrael l'mosa Mashiach? Are you telling us we're never going to stop saying we thank Hashem for yitzias Yisrael even in the days of the future, in the days of Mashiach? V'lokwa ne'ma, it says, hine yomim boyim ne'um Hashem, v'lo yomru od chai Hashem asher ha'os b'nei Yisrael Yisrael. We're going to, the Pasuk, he says over here, tells us that we're not going to continue, and Yirmiyahu is telling us about the Yemos HaMashiach, we're not going to continue saying over here, yeah, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Ki, we're going to say, Ki imchai Hashem Asher Eloah, we're going to praise Hashem for bringing the kibbutz galios. So that's going to be the focus of our attention, and not Yitzias Mitzrayim. So are you, is your drasha correct even? So I'm allowed to come respond back to Ben Doma. Lo, she'teakir Yitzias Mitzrayim mimakoma. No, it doesn't mean over here that we're not going to remember it. Ella she'teishibud malchius ikar Yitzias Mitzrayim tofelo. In our thanks to Hashem, right now Yitzias Mitzrayim is number one, but it's going to fall down to the number two slot or a lower slot, and we're going to be we're thanking Hashem for the unbelievable miracles He's going to perform for us in bringing Mashiach Tzidkenu. And he says similarly, Kayotzi, but we have a similar idea. Atom, when the pasuk says Lo Yikari Shimcha Od Yaakov Ki Yisrael Yeshmecha. Yaakov, he said, you're no longer going to be called Yaakov Avinu. You're now going to be called Yisrael. The battle with the Malach, and his name is changed. Fine. So, does it mean that we never say Yaakov Avinu again? The Avos, Avram Yitzhak Yaakov. Okay, Avram, okay, Yisrael, okay, Yaakov. We don't say, okay, Yisrael. So we still refer to Avram Avinu, Yaakov Avinu as Yaakov, not only as Yisrael, even though the pasuk says his name will be Yisrael. So lo shiyaka Yaakov b'makom, doesn't mean that Yaakov's name is totally changed. Ella Yisrael Iker, the Iker name is Bnei Yisrael, we're Klai Yisrael. However, the Yaakov Tofelo, but we still are allowed to and still do use the name of Yaakov. So that'll be the similar idea. Yitzias Yisrael right now is primacy. Yaakov's first name was primacy. There was Yaakov. But now, subsequently, his name will change Yisrael. So too, subsequently, the Yitzias Yisrael will not have the same primacy as do the new miracles that Hashem will create for us. Similarly, we have the idea. The pasuk in Yishai says, "Al tisku rishonos." Don't remember the rishonos. The kadmonios, al tisboninu. But don't think about the kadmonios. So, what is this a reference to? Al tisku rishonos. What does this mean? Don't remember the rishonos. Says shibud malchios. That refers to all the other tzaras that we've had. Those we're no longer going to thank Hashem for. There's no mitzvah. There's a mitzvah yitzias mitzrayim. There's no mitzvah to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us from the Persians, saved us from the Babylon. Of course, we give thanks to that. But there's no mitzvah to remember that. So then, once we have new phenomenal miracles, we'll focus on the new phenomenal miracles to thank Hashem. But the kadmonios al tisboninu. It doesn't say don't remember. Remember the Kadmonios. The Kadmonios is referring to Zuyat Yitzias Mitzrayim. That we're never going to forget. And therefore, we'll still always thank Hashem for Yitzias Mitzrayim, albeit it won't take the same central role in our tefillos and our thanks to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Then the pasuk says, also in Yeshaya, Hinni Oseh Chadosha, Ato Titzmach. I'm making new miracles for you. You'll sprout. You're going to grow from these new miracles. Tani Rav Yosef, what's the reference to Zu Muhammad's Gog u'Magog? This is the Muhammad that will be towards Mashiach coming, the Muhammad of Gog, who's Melech Magog. People used to think, I used to think when I was younger, that Gog's going to be fighting Magog. Who are these two guys? It was the United States and Russia when we were growing up. That's what the misconception was. But no, Gog is the Melech of the country called Magog. And I mentioned the other day, it's an interesting gematria. Gog u'Magog is gematria of 70. It means all the nations of the world. It doesn't only mean one nation necessarily. That all the nations of the world will gang up on Klai Yisrael. We unfortunately see this almost every day in the UN and every day in what's going on in the world. In any event, this Muhammad's Gog u'Magog is Moshul Ma David Domer. We're going to be talking about the Muhammad's Gog u'Magog that Hashem saved us, and we're going to be forgetting about the other times that Hashem saved us and that we won't be recalling them because we have such new thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it makes the previous miracles, so to say, pale, with the exception of Yitzrayim that never totally pales. So this is Marshall, famous Marshall, from the Tosef, the Lama Dover Dome. L'adim Shoya Mahalik L'derech. The guy's walking on the road. Upaga Bo Zeid, a wolf attacks him. V'nid Tzami Menu, when Hashem saves him, the person's saved from the wolf. V'haya Mesap, V'holich Ma'isi Zeid. Everybody he meets, he tells him, oh, you unbelievable miracle that happened to me. A wolf attacked me and I was saved. Oh, it tells the next guy, a wolf attacked. Every year he has a special Hakar Satov Suda Sauda. The wolf say, I was saved from the wolf. No. Next year he gets attacked by a lion. Pugabo Ari even eats some man. He's saved by a lion. So why Masapov Olech Masi Ari? He the whole world now he starts telling everybody about the lion. Forgets about the wolf. Wow, that was a miracle, but wow, being saved from a lion, that's a much bigger miracle than being saved from a wolf. So he focuses on thanking Hashem, telling everybody how great it was that he was saved from the lion. It was great to be saved from the wolf, but it pales in comparison. So he focuses on the more ikker one. Pagabo Nachash, afterwards a Nachash comes. So a Nachash is considered over here even more powerful than the lion. Others have the gears over here, a dove, that this is a lion. There's a different gears over here, that instead of Nachash, it should be a dove, a bear. A bear is even more powerful than a lion, right? So, you know, a big grizzly bear, you know, these polar bears, so they're much, much, much bigger than a lion. They're much more powerful than a lion. So this is the progression, even a bigger miracle to be saved from a bear or from a nachash, whichever girsut you have. Others explain over here that the bear is the reference, at least the lion is a reference to Bavel, and the bear is a reference to other kingships over here. The dove is pras, which comes after Bavel. So it's a reference to different kingdoms, so we're thanking Hashem for saving us from the most recent disaster rather than the more previous disaster. In any event, Pagabo nachash or dove, need something man when you save from them, shachach ma'isish nev, he forgets about the wolf and the lion. Not that he forgets about it, you don't talk about that. You know, oh, I want a $10 lottery ticket. Oh, I want a $20 lottery ticket. I want a $7 billion lottery ticket. Who are you telling? You're telling about the $7 billion lottery ticket. The $10 and $20 lottery ticket that you won, they pale in comparison. So to over here. He needs some menu. Now he's safe from the nachash, the dove. Shachach ma'aseh shneim. He doesn't talk about the earlier ones. V'ayimasapav olech ma'aseh nachash. Tells everybody about this unbelievable new miracle that happened. So too, Kach Yisrael. The same thing will happen with the Jewish people. Tzaras achronos mishkachas is a rishonos. Unfortunately, this is true. You know, we don't think so much about the gzeres tach v'tat. We should, right? Chmelnitsky, Yimach Shemo v'zichro, killed a million Jews in 1648, 1649, right? But that pales in comparison to the Shoah, Rachmana Litzlan. So we talk about the Shoah, right? It's more recent than our mind. We talk about the unbelievable miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to bring about HaKamas Klal Yisrael in Medinas Yisrael, right? So that's what we talk about. We don't focus on, you know, Chmelnitsky was finally killed and the pogrom stopped. Of course we should focus on that, but it pales in comparison. So therefore, that's the nature of human beings. So these miracles, becoming a Mashiach, will make everything else go away in terms of our discussing it. Not that we don't thank Hashem for it, but it pales in comparison. Except Yisim Yisrael will always be mentioned. That's the drasha of the Chachamim.
More so than a lion?
Yeah, so that's, according to this understanding, a snake's more powerful than a lion. That's why some have the gears of a bear. Bear, we can understand. A snake is more powerful than a lion in the sense that, you know, a lion will only kill you if it's hungry, right? There are people that train with lions, right? You know, and the lion, they feed the lion enough that the lion doesn't attack them. I wouldn't want to be in that cage, but lion doesn't attack. A snake will attack you no matter what. A snake will bite you for no reason whatsoever. That's why the snake is always the one that's called Lashon Hara, because Lashon Hara has no benefit. You know, I say something bad about you, how does that help me? So the snake attacks, even if there's no purpose. The lion's hungry, he eats, right? The lion attacks you. Lions won't attack you if they're not hungry, supposedly. I wouldn't want to be the one to try that out, but they eat because they're hungry. Okay. Now, once we talked about the change in the name of Yaakov to Yisrael, so we talk about the other Avos of the Avos, Avram. They all ask why Yitzchak's name wasn't changed. When you think about it, it's a good question. Yaakov's name is changed, Avram's name is changed, Avram, Avraham. So Yitzchak's not changed. So the Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon on the daf over here, as well as many other Mepharshim, they explain because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the name of Yitzchak. So that didn't need to be changed. Yaakov and Avram, their parents gave the name, so that couldn't be changed. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the name, it's perfect. Anyway, Avram is the name that he's first given. Who Avram? Of course, his name was changed from Avram to Avraham. B'tchila nas av li'aram. The name Avram is a play on the words that he was the king, the head of Aram. Avram, av li'aram. U'b'sof nas av l'chol ha'olam kulo. Av hamon goyim. That's where the hey comes from. Avraham. He's now the leader of all of the people. Similarly, Sarai, he Sarah b'tchila. She was originally Sarai, he Sarah, Sarah. So she changed her name from Sarai to Sarah. B'tchila nas is Sarai liumasa. She was the Sarai, the leader, the head officer for her nation. L'ubisof nas is Sarah l'chol la'olam kulo. She became for the whole world. Now, Avram's name is not allowed to be called anything other than Avram today. You can't call him Avram. Sarai, there's no iser in saying the word Sarai anymore. Avram, we don't find too many people named Sarai either, but there's no iser in saying Sarai, whereas there's a problem in saying Avram. So, Tani Bakaporo, call a Kori li Avraham, Avram, if you don't, and people that lay in the Mepharshim point out, they have to be very careful when they lay, they have to lay in it properly. They can't just swallow the word Avraham. They have to say Avraham. They can't say Avram, you know. So you have to be very careful. So, call a Kori li Avraham, Avram, over be Asay, you're over in Asay. You're not fulfilling the positive commandment to call him Avraham. Shenemar, Vayoshim Cho Avraham. So therefore, you have to say Avraham. You don't say Avram. Of course, when you're laying in the Torah, so when it says Avram, you're allowed to, because that's pre the change of the name, and we're relating what happened, as the Gemara itself will say in a moment. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, over Balav. Now, Lav Davkin, unfortunately, pointed out that he's arguing with the first opinion. He's saying, in addition to being an asay that you're over, you're also over a los asay. That's what many suggest. With smoking, for example, the vast majority of the posts can say you're over an asay of nishmat and osnaf shesechem, and you're also over a los asay over here of putting yourself at risk and danger. So therefore, you can be over both an asay and a los asay. So that's similar over here. Voyoshimcha Abraham is the asay, and Rabbi Elazar Omer, you're over belaf shemar below, you create od es shimcha Avram. El Avraham. So therefore, you're over both an asay and a los asay, possibly, if you use the terminology Avraham. No, the Gemara says, how come by Sarah we don't find a similar thing? El Amiata, Kori, Lusara, Sarai, Hochanam, you should be over an asay or a los asay. So Gemara points out a technical detail. Hasam Kutchabrichu, Omeli Avraham. Abraham was the one who was told, you shall call her Sarah and not Sarai. But Lav Dafka, that's a mitzvah for everybody else. Sarai Ishticha, your wife, Lo Sikor Shema Sarai, Ki Sarah Shema. So therefore, you have to go and call her. But Lav Dafka, is there a commandment for everybody else, or a Lo Sasei, to use the terminology Sarai? So technical detail over here. Nudim Mar says, how come we don't find the same thing by Yaakov? By Abraham, if you say Avram, you're wrong. So how come by Yaakov, if we call him Yaakov, we should be wrong, you should have to call me Yisrael? El Biata, Korili Yaakov, Yaakov, Hochanami. How come we don't find that same thing? Right? When you say, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, every morning in Shmoneh Esrei, you should put a big X through your sitter and take out the word Yaakov and write the word Yisrael. How come? So when it says, Shiny Horse, a major difference over here. The Hodra Ahadre Kra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself said, no, you can still call him Yaakov. The Siv, Vayom Elokim Yisrael, Bemaros HaLayla, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Yaakov at night, calls him Yisrael, and then it says, Vayomer, Yaakov, Yaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself says it's okay to still use the terminology Yaakov. So how come? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If he changed the name to Yisrael. So he said, otherwise, you know what they're going to say? They're going to say that Yaakov's name is Vayakveni Pamoyim. They're going to say that Yaakov was called by Esau when he goes to Yitzchak, and he says, your brother, well, he stole the brachas from me. Yaakveni Pamayim, he stole it from me twice. He stole the Bechorah, and now he stole the brachos. So people are going to think, that's why we don't want to use the name Yaakov anymore, because that's what it represents. So Bedavka Hashem said, no, the name Yaakov over here, it represents over here, he grabbed onto the leg when they were being born, that he grabbed onto Esau's leg. That's the Akev that we refer to. So therefore, it's still a kosher name. Don't think that it's an improper name. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, says, I want you to still use the name Yaakov. As opposed to Avram, I don't want you to use the name Avram. So therefore, by Avram, we don't say that. We say Abraham. But by Yaakov, you call him Yisrael or you call him Yaakov. Either way, it's fine.
Why don't we say Avraham?
No, so again, here, there's different usages, there are different ideas that are being expressed by Yisrael versus Yaakov. So sometimes it's appropriate to say Yisrael, sometimes it's appropriate to say Yaakov. Right, so again, the usage of the word Yaakov has a certain implication, a certain meaning over here that is not found in Yisrael and vice versa. They're interesting ideas in terms of the number of letters. If you scroll, it comes up to 13 letters, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and 13 is representing with the Emos, it's 13 and 13, and it becomes 26, the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are a lot of ideas behind it. It's, you know, deep, deep, deep subject. Okay. Masim Rav Yossi Bar Avin, he is the following Shalom. He came out to say it was Rav Yossi Bar Zvida. Atu Hashem Elokim Hashem Bechata B'Avram. Wait, every day in the davening, we say this over here, right? The pasuk with Nehemiah. So how are we allowed to say that? It should be, Atu Hashem Elokim Hashem Bechata B'Avraham. Why do we say it? We say it every day in the davening. So why don't we change that to Avraham? So he gives the obvious answer. I'm like, Hasam Navihu Dekom Esad L'Shvach L'Rachmona. May Dahava Mei Korah. Again, we're saying, you started off with Avraham, and he became Avraham. So there's nothing wrong with us giving a history lesson. There's nothing wrong with us reading the parish of the end of Noach. The whole parish is Lech Lecha, where he's called Avraham until his name is changed at the end of Lech Lecha into Avraham. So therefore, it's not a problem if you're it's not an isser to say the name of Avraham. It's just inappropriate for us to call, you know, the Avos, for somebody to say the Avos are Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that would be wrong. But for somebody to say that Abraham's name was originally Avram, there's no Isser involved in that. It's not like there's certain Avodah Zarahs, you're not supposed to even mention their name. Some people even say certain Malachim Royim, so to say, you don't mention their name. Some will say Samach Mem, instead of saying the Malach whose name is Sam Kel. So they'll say the Samach Mem. So there's ideas, there's certain things you don't want to say. People say Yena Machala, you know that Machala. They don't want to say the word cancer, right? Say Yena Machala. So again, sometimes people just don't want to say something. There's no isser involved in saying it. Here, if you're using the term Avram to mean Avraham, and you're not talking historically, you're not giving a background, so then it's inappropriate, and maybe over an assay, maybe over a low assay. Hadron Alecha, Mehe Masai, a big Yashakayach to everybody for finishing the first parak in the Daf Yomi cycle. Mi Hashem. We should be zocher to finish all of the parakim and shas many, many, many more times. Yes? So Lemaisa, we paskin that you're supposed to be masking Kriyat Shema at night. So we don't. It seems that it's a machlokas, but I'm not sure it's a machlokas. It's just to say that that's not the drasha. The drasha could be the machlokas. Since we do paskin, you're supposed to be masking Kriyat Shema at night. Lav davka that the chum disagree that you're not supposed to say Kriyat Shema at night is that they don't learn it from that pasuk. That's how I would understand it. I am not 100% sure that I saw anybody say that, but that's how I would understand it, because Lemaisa, we paskin like Rabbi Elazar and Azariah and Ben Zoma, so normally we wouldn't paskin against them against the rabbim. So Mestama, the rabbim don't disagree. They just disagree with their drasha. That's what I'm suggesting. I don't have proof of that, Elliot. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you see that Hashem called Yitzchak Yitzchak? I mean, the Torah says Avram Karol Shem Beno Kanolalo Yitzchak.
Right. So we don't find a specific reason for it. So it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The name Yitzchak came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Says Avram called.
Yeah, yeah. But he got it through Hashem. There wasn't a reason for it.
It does say earlier that he said you'll call him
Yitzchak. Yeah, he says Karol Shem Yitzchak. Right. You're right. Avram called him. In the birthday room, they said, what's his name? On the birth certificate, they said, what's his name? So Avram was the one that didn't come Ruach HaKodesh, filled it in automatically. But he was told, Karas Shemo Yitzchak. You shall call him Yitzchak. So he was told the name, as opposed to the others, they made up the name themselves. Yeah.
Just a little comment. Ukrainian started calling streets Khmelnytsky now. He got a statue, and he's on the money.
All right.
Just anybody who cries for Ukraine.
Unfortunately, anti-Semitism isn't going away so fast. Okay, Vaita. The way to make it go away is to be learning Torah. The Torah is megin at all times. When you do a mitzvah, it's only megin at the time you're doing the mitzvah. The Torah is megin at all times. The best defense of the Jewish people is learning Torah. Okay, next parak, second parak in the Daf Yomi cycle. Hayakari b'Torah. If a person goes and reads from the Torah, we'll see in a moment exactly what we're talking about. He's reading Parshas Kriyat Shema. V'yigiyas ma'an. And it's now the time for Kriyat Shema. V'yigiyazman hamikra. It's time now to say Kriyat Shema. So when he's reading the Torah in kivin libo yotza, if he had intention, Kriyat Shema. That's what it sounds like. That's not what it means. But if he had kavana to be yotze the mitzvah Kriyat Shema, so then he is yotze. Implying, if he didn't have kavana to be yotze the mitzvah Kriyat Shema, he's not yotze. That's not what it means, but that's what it sounds like. The moral question is. Now, tells us a whole bunch of other dinim about Kriyat Shema. Biprakim, if you are in between, biprakim means in between the paragraphs. The Gemara will explain what the paragraphs are. Certain things you're allowed to interrupt for, certain things you're not allowed to interrupt for. So shalom et me'akavod, you're allowed to interrupt over here to go and ask, to say shalom aleichem to the rabbi. Rabbi Billy Shlita walks into the shul, and you're in the middle of the brachas of Kriyat Shema, at least in between the paragraphs of Kriyat Shema, you'd be allowed to say shalom aleichem, Rabbi Billy. So you'd be allowed to go and do something like that. That's allowed. Again, we don't practice that today because everybody understands that it's not necessary. And all the people that you give cover to understand, so we don't do this. But technically, minadin, you'd be allowed to also cover. Umeshiv, and you're allowed to respond as well. If Rabbi Abdullah would come up to you and say, Shalom Aleichem to you, you'd be allowed to respond back to him. Tomorrow we'll discuss exactly what the chiddush is. So if I can say hello to him, say Shalom Aleichem to him, of course I can respond to him. So tomorrow we'll explain a little bit differently. But that's what the words sound like over here. Ubiyamsat, if you're in the middle of a paragraph, we'll say it again in a moment, what the paragraph saw, you're in the middle of a paragraph, then you're only allowed to show me a year. You're only allowed to go to somebody that you're afraid what he might do to you. It's not because of the fashos, obviously, or else you'd be allowed to do anything other than the three cardinal sins. So it's not really, unfortunately, point out a situation of real pikuach lefashos, but he could cause you trouble in some way. At a year, you're afraid of this guy, so therefore you can say hello to him. As covered, you might not have said hello to him, but as year, you're allowed to say hello. And Meshav, you're allowed to respond to him as well. Again, what's the chiddush? If you can say hello, why can't you respond back? So Gemara will explain this as well. Umeshav, the Rameh. This is the opinion of Rameh. Rav Yehuda Omer, Rameh is usually, not always, the Tanakama. Rav Yehuda says, no, even in the middle of the paragraphs themselves, you'd be allowed to ask for Yira, but Meshiv, even Mipnei HaKavod. Rameh said you can only be Meshiv, what sounds like Mipnei HaYira, but he says you can be Meshiv even for Kavod. And if you're in between the paragraphs, Shom Mipnei HaKavod, Umeshiv Shalom Uchol Adam. anybody, even if it's not a person you have to give cover to, comes up to you and says, Shalom Aleichem, you'd be allowed to respond back to him. So that's the main difference. This is the real practical difference between Rav Meir and Yehuda on the response part, whether you'd be allowed to respond to the level lower or not. Rav Meir says, no, it's only the same level, and Rav Yehuda says you can even respond one level lower. What are these prakim that we're talking about? Elohein, Beinah, prakim. These are the differences between the paragraphs. We're starting off with the brachos of Kriyashma until the end of the brachos of Kriyashma, including Kriyashma. So these are the Beinah, prakim, between the different paragraphs, not in the middle of the paragraph, that's Be'emtza. Prakim over here means what are the paragraphs that when you're ending that paragraph, you have more of a leeway to respond to somebody or to say hello to somebody than in the middle of the paragraph. So Beinah, prakim is Bein Bracha Rishon Lishniya, between the Bracha of Yotzer or to the Bracha of Avaraba. So after you say Yotzer HaMiyaroz, that's called between the bracha of Yotzer HaMiyaroz to being in the bracha of Avarabba. Bein bracha Rishon Lushniya. Bein Shniya Lushma. So you finish off B'cheir B'mayisol B'Avar, and then you stop. So that's the end of that bracha. And the next paragraph starts Shema Yisrael. So that's called between those two paragraphs. Bein Shniya Lushma. Bein Shema L'Voyom Shema. The end of the paragraph of the first paragraph of Shema to the beginning of the second paragraph of Shema L'Voyom Shema. And Bein V'Hoyom Shema L'Voyomer. That's between the second and third paragraph. Bein V'Yomer L'Yemes V'Yatsiv. According to the Tanakhama, that's also a break. You're allowed to have, that's called Bein HaProkim, when you finish off the end of V'Yomer and you start V'Yatsiv V'Nachon or Emes V'Yemuna. So that's a break. But that's not, of course, how we paskin, and that's what the review this is. Yehuda Omer, no. Bein V'Yomer L'Yemes V'Yatsiv Lo Yatsiv. You're not allowed to interrupt over there. That's why I say Hashem Elokechem MS. MS is really the next paragraph. But because of Pasuk in Yirmiyah, as we'll see in the Gemara, so we always combine Hashem Elokechem MS together. So therefore, you're not allowed to pause over there. That's not considered Bein HaProkim. And that's how we, in fact, Pasuk. Our Rishuvin Karcha. Rishuvin Karcha is an interesting name, Karcha. So some say because his father was bald. Others say, no, that would be a derogatory comment. And this is, his father was, according to some, was Rabbi Akiva. So anyway, a whole discussion where the name Rav Shua ben Karcha comes from. So in any event, it's an interesting name, but we don't have time to go through it right now. So he's a famous time. He says, Rav Shua ben Karcha says, Loma kodma parasha shema voyim shemoa. Why the shema come voyim shemoa? Now the Tosus, and this is actually found on Yudalit Amud Beis, and that's because Tosus had the Mishnah is broken up over here. This started a separate Mishnah. The Mishnahs are arbitrarily somewhat broken up. In the Mishnahs, they're broken up in different ways than they are in the Gemara. In any event, so that's why the Tosfos on this are found on Yudalit Amud Beis. And he asked the question, why in the world would you think that Parashat Shema should not be before Vayom Shema? It comes first in the Torah. So why are you asking this question? So he points out that Vayomer comes first. So if you wanted to just go in the order of the Torah, you would have Vayomer first, and then Shema, and then Vayom Shema. So obviously we don't do that. So now the question is, we should have started off V'hayu hadvarim ha'ela, right? The second paragraph is in the plural. First paragraph is in the singular. So it would make sense to have the second paragraph be first. So now we understand the question. So why is that the order that it is?
Does the verse 'Selah' come first in the Torah, or does it serve as a separation?
What do you mean?
Selah.
Does the word selah constitute a separation? We don't find it over here in these brachos over here. So it's a different discussion. Yeah. So we have over here Shema and coming before Vayim Shema. Why? Loma kodma Shema Vayim Shema. So he says Kadeshi Kabul of Omachu Shemaim Tchila, because if you can't do anything before you accept upon yourself the yoke of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very important idea. That's why I mentioned the Aschola to the Daf Yomi. That's why Rebbe started off the first Masechta and the first Daf dealing with Shema, because that's the essential to be Mekabel of Omachu Shemaim. You can't do anything without accepting that you're nothing compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that you're totally subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Shema is an Iker fundamental baseline. You can't go anywhere without that. So therefore, that's why we want to accept Shema as the first paragraph. And then, Yachakach, Mekabel of O Mitzvos. And then, the next paragraph deals with the acceptance of the Mitzvos. Vayim Shemoa, Vayomer, why is Vayom Shemoa coming for Vayomer? Shoyim Shemoa, Noah Ben Vayom Vilayla, Vayomer, no, Gelo Vayom Vilvad. And therefore, because tzitzis are only found in the last paragraph, that's only during the day, so that takes less of a precedence than the other mitzvahs which are found day and night. So that's why the order is, first accept upon yourself all Malchus Shemayim, then accept upon yourself all mitzvahs that are practiced day and night, and then the mitzvahs that are practiced only over here during the day. And that's the reason for this order. There are other reasons as well, we'll learn when we get to the Gemara. Gemara starts off and says, Shema Minah, it seems from over here that mitzvah tzrichas kavana. We seem to say that if you didn't have kavana, you're not yotze. That's a famous machlokes about Shas. Do mitzvah tzrichas kavana or not? Gemara says, no. My imkivitli. Well, that's not what it meant. It meant likros. It meant that you intended to read.
Well, duh, what else were you doing? You were reading the Shema. So obviously you intended to read. So how can that mean that you don't mean that you had an intention to be Yosei the Mitzvah, just an intention to read? Someone says, Likros, Vakukari. You're obviously reading. So what do you mean you had intention to read? That's what the guy was doing. Gemara says, no, Bekori Lagia. So the way the Mepharshim explain this, some understand this is part of Rashi, others say this is a different explanation. It's really all one explanation, so I think it's easy enough to say it in even the name of Rashi, that he's talking about over here, that a person is reading in order to correct the Sefer Torah, or comparing one Sefer Torah to another Sefer Torah. And therefore, he's reading the words, like Tosa says, instead of Totafos, you want to make sure you have it spelled correctly, so you read it as Tatefes. Because the Sivu Kriz. So when you want to make sure that you're correcting a Sefer Torah correctly, you don't read it as it's supposed to be pronounced, but you read it the way it's spelled to make sure that's called Lahagia. So that's not called that you intended to read. That's called you intended to correct. And then you wouldn't be Yotze. But as long as you read the words correctly, even though you didn't have the Kavan, Hinin Yimuchin Mezum L'Kayim Mitzvah Kriyashma Shal Shachris, but you read it at the right time, as long as your intention was to read it and not to correct, then you would be Yotze, because this Mishnah Paskins that Mitzvahs Einot Tzrichos Kavana. Everybody agrees you should have kavanah for a mitzvah. Nobody says you should do mitzvahs mindlessly. But if you didn't have kavanah, are you yotzi or not? So then our mishnah passes mitzvahs ain't it tzrichas kavanahs to have kavanah for the mitzvah, but you have to have kavanah to do the action. If a person says, I'm picking up the lulav and esrog, so he even didn't have in mind, I'm hitting the mukhlim and zoom and kai mitzvahs lulav and esrog, he's still yotze. But if he was carrying the lulav and esrog upside down, he's not yotze to mitzvah, because he didn't do the mitzvah carrying or picking it up properly. Okay. Tana Rabban. Kriya Shema Kiksova. The famous machlokes between Rabbi and the Chachamim. Kriya Shema, Rabbi says, Divrei Rabbi has to be written in, has to be said in order. You can't do it lemafrei. You can't do it out of order. I'm sorry. Kiksova means over here in Lashon Kodesh. You must say it in Hebrew. You can't be Yotzi Kriya Shema reading it in English. Chachamim Chalosh, no, you can be Yotzi Kriya Shema in any language. What's the reasoning? What's the machlokes? It's my time with the Rabbi. Why does Rabbi say you must read Kriya Shema in Hebrew? So, Omar Krab, because he says the pasuk says, Vahayu. So it means like this, you, the way it is, that's the way you be Yotze. You can't read Kriya Shema in the English Archlo translation and be Yotze with saying of Kriya Shema. In general, in davening, you can be Yotze in English, although all the polls can bring down that nowadays it's preferable to read it in Hebrew and not understand it, rather than to read it in English and understand it. Of course, the best is to read it in Hebrew and to understand it. Everybody forgets about that. But even if a person doesn't understand Hebrew, it's better to daven in Hebrew because there are many words that we don't understand what the rabbis really put into them. The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah put into the davening certain koichos, so even if we don't understand them, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah did, and when we say those words, we get the bang, so to say, that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah said. But if we just translate the word, so then we're not getting the bang that they intended because we translated it this way, but that's not what they meant. So therefore, halacha l'maaseh, a person should always daven in Hebrew as long as he physically can read Hebrew. If he can't read Hebrew, he can't read a transliteration, so then daven the best he can. But certain things you must say in Hebrew. Kriya Shema, Rabbi says, is one of them. You must say it in Hebrew. Nun Rabbanim, why don't they agree with that? Ma'i Tamayu, they say, Amar Krav, the pasuk says, Shema, which implies, B'chol Loshen Shato Shomer, any language you hear, and you understand. I can't say Kriya Shema in Italian. I don't speak Italian. So even though I'm pronouncing the words perfectly in Italian, Chacham would say, I'm not Yosef. But if I understand Italian, and I say the Kriya Shema in Italian, the Chacham would say, you'd be Yosef. Rabbi would say, you're not Yosef. No, Rabbi knew it says the word Shema. Well, Rabbi Nami Hoksiv Shema. So why doesn't he agree with the Chachamim? Because he dashes the word Shema differently. Rabbi says you have to say the Kriya Shema loud enough that you can hear it. If you don't hear it, everybody agrees if you scan it. If you just look at the words on in a sitter, that's not called davening. Some person who actually just looked at the words in a sitter has to read daven. You didn't daven. You just scanned the words with your eyes. But if you said them very, very softly, even though you couldn't hear them, you're Yotze b'di'evet, l'chatchila, you should at least try to hear what you're saying. It shouldn't disturb other people, but you should try to hear what you're saying.
You have to move your lips?
You have to move your lips, absolutely. You can't scan stuff with your eyes. People that, they're just looking back and forth in the sitter, so they're not Yotze. So that's the din over here. You have to be motzi mipicha. So he says, you must do that. The Chacham say, no, you don't have to be motzi mipicha. As long as you're mouthing the words, even though you can't hear them, you're okay. Rabbanu Savilo, Kiman Dama, Loish Milazu Yotze. You're still Yotze even if you didn't hear them. You can't scan them even according to the Chachamim, but even if you didn't hear them, you're Yotze. Well, Rabbanu Nu, why don't they say like Rabbi? Hoksiv Yahayu. So why don't they say you have to read it in Hebrew? Hamabayle, Shlo Yikarilim Afreya. They say you can't read it out of order. Vahayu means you have to read the words correctly. As Rashi points out over here, you can't read the words backwards. You have to say each word in the proper order that it's in. You can't read the words out of order. Fine. The different interpretations of what the Mafreya means, but that's certainly fine. Okay. Rebbe, Shaloi Karlim Afreim, you know, like, Rebbe agrees with this din. So how does he learn it out? Naklei mi dvorim, it could have said, vayu ha dvorim. It could have said, vayu dvorim eila. It said, ha dvorim, so he dashes out the extra hey to teach us this din. It has to be the way it was said, in the added order. Rabbanim, dvorim, dvorim, lo darshi. They don't darshi the extra hey. No, lememra, the Sava Rebbe, the Kala Torah Kula, b'choloshen emra. So from Rebbe saying that you must read Kriyashma in Hebrew implies that all the other psukim they have to read. Some suggest this means laning over here, but others say no, it only means certain parshas. Tosfos brings down over here, it means like parsha of Zohar, and some even have the gears over here, Parah Duma, parshas Parah, or Bikurim, or things like that, when you have to read psukim in the Torah, so those psukim must be read in, they could be read in any language, because only Shema specifically must be read in Hebrew. That's what they want to darshan out, implying that the rest of the Torah, Rebbe holds you can say in any language. Because these halakos daita b'loshon hakodesh nemra, because if you're saying that the rest of the Torah also has to be read, well, you have to read it in Hebrew. So then, v'hayu d'kasa rachmana lonely. So why would you have to tell me by Shema? If that's the rule across the board, why specifically by Shema? So one says, no, it's the real. Even though Rebbe says it specifically by Shema, he holds the rest of the Torah also has to be read in Hebrew. Why? Because you might have made the mistaken notion that Shema can be said in any language, like the Rabbanim say, so therefore he specifically said over here, Vahayu teaches us that you have to say the Shema in Hebrew. But the rest of the Torah you also have to say in Hebrew. So that's Rabbi's opinion, you can't bring me a raya. No, Lememra, the Savi Rabbanim, the Chalat Torah, Kula, B'loshon, HaKodesh Nemra. Now, looking at the rabbis who say that Shema you can read in any language, so that implies that the rest of the Torah you must read in Hebrew. Is that true? Because he said, B'loshon, Nemra, Shema, the Chalat Rabbanim, Lomalei, because then why would the rabbi say over here you have to read it in any you can read it in any language, if the rest of the Torah you can also read it in any language? So it must be that the Chacham hold that the rest of the Torah you can read in any language, and only you must read it in Hebrew, and only over here must you say it in, can you say it in any language? Moshe said, no, same terrence like by Rabbi. Itzrich, Mishum Dechsev, Ohayu. Because each one would have had a reason to think that this is the exception to the rule, the exception that this must be Hebrew, but everything else is in English, or that everything else is in Hebrew, and this is only in English. Whatever way you go, you could have thought like the other one, so that's why each of them said their specific shita by Shema, but Lav Davka, that they don't hold the rest of the Torah is the same exact shita. So you can't bring many rayas one way or the other. Tana Rabbanan. The Braisa says, Vahayu, the words Vahayu mean Shaloi Karla Mefreya. That, the Braisa says, like the opinion that we said, that you can't read it Lemafreya. Hadvarim, Vahayu Hadvarim Ho'ela, Al Levovecha, I might have thought that you must read the entire parasha of Kriya Shema with Kavanah. Here's the sheet that I handed out. For those listening on the tape, they're not going to see the sheet. It's not essential. But I put down all the seven sheets that we're going to have in the upcoming Gemara on the sheet. So this is the first one over here. They call a parasha Tzricha Kavanah. I might have thought that you have to have Kavanah. Again, you're always supposed to have kavanah. Nobody's suggesting that you can be a mindless automaton and just say the words without thinking about them. Ideally, you should have kavanah for every word. We all should spend much longer in our davening having kavanah. Nope, we're human beings and we maybe don't do it as well as we should. So you're yotzei without kavanah certain things. But the first part of Kriya Shema until Alev Avecha, Rashi says, Tosfos says it means Ad Me'odecha. Some suggest that they're not arguing with each other. Others suggest that they are arguing with each other. I might have thought they call a parasha Tzricha Kavanah Talmud Lomar Ha'Eila Vayu Adrim Ha'Eila up till here. Ad Kan Tzricha Kavanah. You must understand what you're saying on those first words of Shema Yisrael, according to many Baruch Shem as well, and then the first part of your Yahavta Eis until either Alev Avecha or until Me'odecha. And Mikan Ve'elach Ain't Tzricha Kavanah Divrei Lezer. Until after that, if you don't have Kavanah, not the end of the world. Again, you should, but not the end of the world, you're still Yotze. That's the opinion of Rabbi Lez. Amar Rabbi Kiva, Arayu Omer, the pasuk says over here, Asheron Nechim Etzavecho Hayom, Alev Avecha. Mikana Tolom, Eishu Kol HaParsha Kul HaTzricha Kavanah. The entire first parsha of Kriya Shema, the entire Vahafta, and of course Shema as well, has to have Kavanah. So these are the first two shitos. Only until a certain word in the first paragraph, or the entire first paragraph. Amar Rabbi Chana, Amar Yochanan, Alocha Rabbi Akiva. We possibly like Rabbi Akiva. That's what he says. That's not how we technically possibly. Ika Demasi Lo, the second version over here, which will be Shitas number 3 and 4. Ika Demasi Lo Aha, that Rabbi Rabbi Chana, when he said this is how we possibly, was on this statement. The Tanya, Akori Es Shema Tosh Yekavan Islibo. You must have Kavanah. The Brisa says. To what point? Rav Acha Mishum Yehuda Omer Kivan Shekivan Libo BePerik Rishon Shuvei Notzarich. You don't have to have any additional Kavanah. It's enough that you just have the first. Perik Rishon. Rabbi Rechana, Rabbi Yochanan, Alochi Rav Acha. Shama Mishum Rav Yehuda. He says, this is the pshat that we have over here. The third opinion was the Tanakam over here.
That you have to have the first and second parsha, as we'll see. That's what Rashi points out over here, that you have to have the first and second parsha. And the fourth sheet over here, which is the one that Rabbi Bechada says he passed like, it's just the first paragraph. Everybody asks, when he says over here, Halachi Rav Acha, Shalom Shalom Yehuda, so before he had said Halachi Rabbi Kiva, don't they both say the same thing? So the Mefarshim point out there's a slight difference between the first parsha of Rabbi Akiva and the first parsha that said over the name of Rabbi Yehuda. And that's whether you need Kavana for Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam on that. And they want to be Medayik from Rashi. In the top Rashi, it says Kol Parsha Shema. So does that include Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam according to Rabbi Akiva? Yes. According to the second opinion of Yehuda, it does not. Tani Yidach, we have another Brice over here that says, Vayu Shaloi Karlam Afrei. Now I read it out of order. Alev Avecha, Rav Zutra Omer, Adka Mitzis Kavana, Mikam Elch Mitzis Kriya. He wants to suggest that until now you need kavan, and afterwards you just have to have intention to read it. We'll see exactly what that means in a second. Or Yeshayah Omer, Adka Mitzis Kriya, Mikam Elch Mitzis Kavana. He says the opposite. He says the first part you just have to read, and then afterwards you have to have kavana. So Gemara says, Maishna Mikam Elch Mitzis Kriya. Why does the difference over here in opinion? You only need over here kavana for the first part and kriya only for the second part because it's supposed to say ledaber bom. So the Gemara says in the first and second paragraph it uses a lashon ledaber bom. Hachanami hoksevidi barat bom. So why are you making a distinction between the first and second paragraphs over here based upon ledaber bom and barat bom? So Gemara says hachi kamar adka mitzvah kavana the kriya. The first part you have to have kavana as well as kriya. The second paragraph, you just have to have intention to read it. Like we said, not lahagia, but you don't have kavana, you still yotze. So that's sheet number five. So the first and second paragraph both have both the lashon of levavecha, which implies kavana, and the lashon of kriya, dibartabam, or some form of that. So why again do we make a distinction between the first and second paragraph? So when it says, "How many of Rav Yitzchok?" That we need for the drasha of Rav Yitzchok. The Amar for Samtim is the Ra'ela. The second time it says Alav Alchem, that's to teach us the location of the tefillin. Srichos te simo kineged alev. The tefillin on your yad that you're wearing on your yad has to be turned in towards the heart, and it's kineged the heart. When we learn the dinim of tefillin, the proper place, we'll go into this in more detail. But that's why in the second paragraph it doesn't mean for kavana according to the shita. It only means for location. First paragraph it means for kavana. Second paragraph, it means location. We'll stop over here because we run out of time. Yitzhak, we'll pick up at this point tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.